I'm Chris.
I'm Neil.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer, and we're the hosts of the Starling Tribune Podcast,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now,
the opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready,
because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
All right, everyone, welcome. This is PopX episode number 26, coming to you live right here. It's the last day of July. Wait, did I just say it's the last? What? July is over with? Holy cow, this is crazy. Do you know what? This means that summer is almost over. But wait, Suicide Squad this week. There's always a redemption at this. What do you think about Suicide? Are you going to see Suicide Squad, Lindsay? I think you're muted, Lindsay. It's okay. We all mute ourselves from time to time.
I am so excited about Suicide Squad. My husband and I are going next weekend to celebrate our anniversary. So we are totally going to geek out and celebrate our wedding at the same time.
Oh, wow. So it's like a wedding Suicide Squad.
Or marriage, I guess. Yeah.
So can you say a wedding Suicide Squad? Is that... Meh. Okay.
All right. Sure.
So, hey, everyone, welcome. My name is Joseph Burke, and I am your Central Florida's very seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. And right over here in the hot seat, we got Miss Lindsay Badger.
Hey, I'm Lindsay Badger. I am the geeky Okie. And if you missed last week's episode 25, where we discussed the Star Trek Beyond official movie review, be sure to head over to Google Play or iTunes and click the subscribe button to catch up. And while you're there, make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review, because we would certainly appreciate that.
Oh, my God. You said that like you've actually done that before.
I've read it once or twice.
You've read over it a few times. So, yeah, last week's episode was so fun. And Lindsay, before we go into news, what level are you right now on Pokemon Go? I just got to guess.
22 and a half. And my husband is 23. So it's an arms race right now.
Oh, well, that is it the battle of the badges?
It is a battle of the badges. Well, we fight together as a group. And actually, it's so cute to watch my little 2-year-old catch the Pidgeys and the Rattatas and cheer us on.
Gosh.
It's so great.
Hilarious. Together, we fight together. Anyway, I will spare our listeners.
We could do a whole other episode.
No, we're not going to go there tonight. We were supposed to have Austin with us this week, and heaven only knows what happened with. I don't know. He's in Appalachia. I'm just going to leave that right there, okay? I'm just going to drop that ball. We don't know where that boy is. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him anymore. But we had Star Trek last week, which is a really great episode. If you missed it, be sure to go and download it. And you know what? We're going to roll right on into our news, because we really do have a cool interview coming up for you guys tonight. We're going to go ahead and roll that news footage. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is PopX News, coming to you live right here on PopXCast.com.
Ah, yes. And so, you know, going into this, we're still getting some residual news. Last week's episode, if you recall, our Star Trek one, we had literally almost 3 pages of news coming from San Diego Comic-Con. It was crazy. And hopefully you guys were able to go and use some of our little tips and actually download and watch some of the trailers on YouTube and enjoy them, because I know the Doctor Strange one was amazing. The teaser for Justice League was really good. And so hopefully you guys got to be able to see some of those. And if you did, we'd like to know about it. Give us a reaction. But leading off the news this week, we got Geoff Johns. He has been named the official president of DC Comics Entertainment.
What?
And Geoff Johns, so they've got a new, so I don't know what's going on in DC, but it looks like they've got some plans in the work, perhaps.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah,
we'll see how that leads us down a new path there with new control.
He's kind of an American comic book and television scriptwriter. And he's no stranger to DC Comics, and he's been involved on I believe he was involved in the Blade series, if I'm not mistaken. He's also had some stuff in Flash as well, and so I believe it seems to make sense, I guess, having some fresh blood or fresh perspective out there for DC. So good job, DC.
Yeah. And speaking of Blade Runner, The Walking Dead Lenny James cast in the Blade Runner sequel.
Oh, Blade Runner. Yes, yes. Lenny James. Look at that. Yes. Yes. I can't remember his character on The Walking Dead. Shoot. Morgan. Yes, Morgan. How can we? But it was really cool. I've been seeing these little tidbits of Blade Runner news coming out. And if you've never seen the original 1982 beautiful Ridley Scott film of Blade Runner, do
yes.
yourself a favor, go get a Blu-ray of it and set down. If you got 4K, you can find it 4K, do that as well. It is amazing. One of the most beautifully done. And today, I think some of the visual effects in Blade Runner are just, I don't know how they pulled some of that stuff off back in the day, but it's really cool.
Magic.
And, speaking of Harrison Ford and Blade Runner, he played as the Blade Runner and Harrison Ford, Han Solo spinoff could be a trilogy. Now, we're talking about
Stretch
Harrison Ford.
It.
So this is the
Stretch
actor playing. Yeah, they're just, I don't know, I'm not sure how I feel about that, because I kind of feel like the whole Rogue One series, and then with the television show that we have, and also with, you know, 8, 7, and 8, 9 coming out, it's like, okay, overload perhaps much? Are we saturating the market just a wee bit with Star Wars franchise? I don't know.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that, Lindsay?
I'm excited that they are reviving, not that it ever died off, but kind of reviving and getting that excitement level back up there. But I do think that they're hitting that ceiling limit to where we're getting a little overboard.
A little much.
Maybe save some for, like, 10 years from now or something.
Save some content, yeah.
To jump into the next bit, Kiersey Clemons is casted as Iris West in the Flash movie.
Interesting.
I think that's a good choice.
Yeah, she's a great actress. And that makes sense, too. And that's actually, there is going to be a Flash movie if you haven't been getting the wire, the message on that one. So, gear up. There is going to be a Flash movie, an Aquaman movie. Wonder Woman's coming out next summer. That one's already been filmed, and actually the trailer just dropped on that one. So, I'm looking forward to that one. And also, here we go. We got video surfaces of Tyler Hoechlin? Tyler Hoechlin as Superman on the set of Supergirl. So we finally get to see
What are your thoughts of him as Superman?
I'm not really big on the smirk he's got going on there.
He doesn't even look like a real human, to be quite honest with you. He looks a little android-like.
He's like,
I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes. But now, I'm kind of on the fence about this.
So does Clark Kent have Latino roots?
I don't know. He grew up in Kansas. So, I mean, there's that. Okay. And then there's the whole Krypton thing. I really think that Latin's not in that mix anywhere. But
he could get jiggy with some bongos. I'm just saying, anyway. Go ahead.
Or a pants. Next up, Disney announces that the Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2 will be one movie, one film. And it will be just called The Avengers Infinity War. And the second film will be listed as an untitled Avengers film. So they haven't figured out a name for the next one yet.
And, we was talking to Mike, who is doing an amazing job over on our windows right there.
Yeah, he is. All those beautiful graphics.
I think Thanos looks a little bit ticked off that there's not going to be two movies with him in it. He looks a little disgruntled in that movie, in that picture right there.
I can see there's a watering in his eyes, like he's tearing up.
There's a tearful moment, perhaps.
What do you mean there's not two?
Anyway. But there's also, I hear that in Infinity War movie, standalone, there's not going to be any of the Infinity Stones, which makes up the Infinity Gauntlet. So, you can scour the internet and find that one out as well. Mm-hmm. Moving on, we got Kevin Feige has hinted that Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer will drop when the next Marvel movie releases. So we'll have to wait until November the 4th when Doctor Strange releases in theaters so we can see the first footage ever of Guardians. So I'm really excited
That'll
for
be
that.
Cool.
Yes.
That's really, really awesome. More awesomeness coming on Netflix. They released the upcoming Marvel show schedule. Luke Cage is coming out on September 30th. Mm. Iron Fist and Defenders will premiere in 2017. Jessica Jones Season 2, The Punisher spinoff, and Daredevil Season 3 won't be released until sometime in 2018.
So
we've got lots of good stuff coming.
I know. I'm so glad that Daredevil's going for a Season 3. And I really am happy to see what they're going to do with the Punisher spinoff. So I'm super happy about this. I think Netflix has got a gold mine, and they know it, and they're just riding it to the bank.
Definitely stepping up its A game on its list of things to watch, because there was for a while I was like, maybe I should get rid of Netflix because I've kind of watched all the cool stuff on there.
Nah.
But with this whole Disney partnership, there's going to be so much more awesome things coming that you just hang on to that subscription. And
you know what? Speaking of Netflix,
binge watch to your,
we're talking Netflix here, and I just want to pause for a minute before we go to the next headline. I think Netflix as a whole has done such an amazing adaptation. I don't know who started this live streaming television series type thing. I want to say it was Netflix. With House of Cards or one of them. It was one of the earlier things, but I don't know. Then Amazon Prime came along, then Hulu came along, and then HBO Go, all these other series, I guess.
I want to say it was House of Cards and Orange is the New Black were one of the first shows on Netflix. Yeah.
So I think Netflix has literally single-handedly killing the entire American cable industry. And for that, I give you a freaking thumbs up, because I'd rather pay $10
Amazon Prime's coming out with some good show content too, by the way.
Oh, I know they are. Amazon Prime is where it's at. And speaking of Netflix, Netflix will drop, for all you Voltron fans out there, will drop Season 2 of Voltron at the end of 2016. So just before Christmas, probably late November, early December, fans of that enjoyed, myself included in that, enjoyed Season 1 of Voltron, will now have Season 2.
Yes. Oh boy. My favorite, Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Batman. The movie was released 50 years ago in July of 1966.
Oh my God. Are you serious? It is its 50th.
My dark heart throb right there.
Oh my God.
Love it.
To the Batcave, Robin. Yes. I think one of my most favorite moments, and my wife was so awesome. She bought me the Batman movie in Blu-ray for Christmas.
Yes.
And so I went back and watched it. One of my favorite scenes, and I remember this as a kid. Do you remember the shark scene when the rubber shark was grabbing him on the leg and he's trying to kick it, or he's running with the bomb? Yeah. Adam West, you know you freaking rock. You know that, right?
Yes.
Pop culture icon, you. And so moving on down here, we got some really crazy news coming from HBO.
This is crazy.
And I think fans of Game of Thrones may be a little disgruntled, but HBO...
My husband's a little sad.
I know. HBO announced that Game of Thrones will end. This is its final season. Season 8 is the closing final season for Game of Thrones.
Yes.
So winter has come, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, to kind of geek out just a tiny bit on this one, the show surpassed the books like 2 or 3 seasons ago, so they're kind of like freewheeling it and just kind of dragging out the storyline. So it doesn't surprise me that they're wrapping it up, but it's a good show.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will be really sad when it's gone. But, you know, everything great has to come to an end at some point.
This is true. And so it's sad, you know. But HBO Go is going to be – you got another Batman. Look at you.
I am so I'm getting all the great headlines.
All the Batman news this week, man.
I know. The Batman, the Killing Joke was the largest opening for Fathom events, which grossed $3.8 million for a 2-day event.
Now, if you're not familiar with what Fathom events are, that is events that are tied to AMC theaters. It's a special, like, you can watch concerts live and all kinds of really cool events that are live. Well, this was a 2-day event, and Fathom actually did a cinematic debut of The Killing Joke. This is kind of a big deal. It's a rated R comic animated series, animated movie, adapted from the actual Alan Moore book. So it's really, really cool. And so for it to make $3.8 million in 2 days.
Did you get to see this one, Joe?
I haven't seen this one. I'm waiting for the Blu-ray. I'm waiting for the Blu-ray to come out. So hopefully, it'll come out. I think it's coming out like in just a few weeks, if I'm not mistaken. But I do have the book. I have the Killing Joke book by Alan Moore. So I'm really anxious to see, because I know how it's going to start.
See how it matches up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, but that's really cool. And also right now, if you're wanting to watch The Killing Joke, you can also get it on Amazon Prime and a lot of your streaming, Voodoo, I think also you can get it for like $14 right now. Sweet. As a pre-digital release. And also, rounding it up this week on the news, Heroes and Icons channel will show all five Star Trek series. And this is going to be really awesome. That's five of the Star Trek series. That's Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Star Trek
Voyager.
Original, Voyager, you name it. And so it's going to be awesome. All you got to do is go over to Heroes and Icons TV.com. That's HeroesandIconsTV.com. And you can see where it's available in your area. And if your cable company gets it, then guess what? You just hit a gold mine if you're a Trekkie.
That is a lot of content.
That is a freaking lot of content. And with that, I think that's going to wrap up this week's news, Lindsay Badger. What do you think about all that?
I think we had a good week of news this week.
I did. I do too. So we're going to roll right on in right now to this week's Nerd Nugget by yours truly, Miss Lindsay Badger. And we're going to play that.
Oh my God, it's a Nerd Nugget.
All right, Badges.
All right. This week's Nerd Nugget is, we got just one this week. Okay. Trying to keep it short and sweet. Mm-hmm. Just 12 issues after his debut appearance, Spider-Man's secret identity was revealed to the public by Doc. No one could accept that a wimp like Peter Parker could be a superhero, dismissing him as an imposter.
Now, you made so Spider-Man's secret identity was revealed by Dr. Octopus to the entire...
In issue 12.
Is this the ongoing series?
In the storyline. I'm not sure. I believe it's like towards the beginning, like the beginning early, like when he was actually introduced to the world.
Wow. Well, yeah. Dr. Octopus.
In episode 12.
What are you doing, man? Yeah.
Issue 12 revealed the secret identity, but nobody believed that it was actually Peter Parker. They thought it was an imposter because he was such a wimpy person.
That's crazy. Well, okay. So I didn't know that.
Well, there
personally,
you go.
You would think that I would actually know that, me reading the comic books as much as I do, but I did not know that. In the words of, Casey Kasem?
It is my goal to challenge you, Joe, and to give you a little... nugget of knowledge every week, because you give back so much to me.
I did not know that. And so that's probably going back to the original Amazing Spider-Man. And I think Dr. Octopus was one of Peter Parker's original villains, with along with the Vulture. And if you guys don't know who the Vulture is, you will know who the Vulture is, because Michael Keaton is playing the Vulture in the upcoming Spider-Man Homecoming, which will be debuting next summer in theaters everywhere. And Lindsay Badger, thank you for the Nerd Nugget.
Oh my God, welcome. It's a Nerd Nugget.
All right, joining us right now, we have Mr. Enrique Bentancourt from Neoverse. What's up, dude? How are you doing?
Hello, guys. I'm doing great. Hey. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. You got all your buddies watching and streaming and checking us out live tonight?
I really hope so, because we really spread the word.
That's awesome, man.
Good.
Good thing about PopX is that we have everything archived. So if they miss the live, then they can always go back and catch the replay over on our YouTube channel. So you can be sure to share that link around. But so it's really cool Absolutely. Having you here. Now, Enrique and I, before we get started into the actual interview, Enrique and I actually participated in Smithsonian's online curriculum course, Pop X. Get it? Get it?
Yeah.
Pop X. And so it's called Pop X 1.3 now, I think. And is that where you first started too, Enrique?
No, actually, I started with the first class.
Okay.
Alumni from the first class, Pop X 1.1. They're doing a fourth class this summer, this fall, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really amazing to see how that course has inspired a lot of people to pick up to get the nerd inside out.
Yeah. I mean, need I say more? I mean, I do a podcast called Pop X. So, it's really cool. And I do recall you and I think it was like either last year or the year before last, you and I were in the same course together. And I remember your name coming up quite a bit, on the discussion boards for PopX for the Smithsonian and you sharing your information and stuff like that. So that was really awesome. So getting into your interview here, so explain to us exactly what spawned this whole idea to create your own universe of heroes. And what was that creative spark for you? How did it all start?
Well, it all started with a curse, actually. As you remember, the first course, the main goal was to create your own superhero and to create the backstory, character details, the genesis, and the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
So we started thinking, wouldn't it be awesome if we create like our own superheroes? And like a few of us got together and started throwing ideas. Yeah, I want my superhero here, and another person would say, yeah, and they could meet up here with my character and we would team up. And it really started like a fun project. But then it started to get serious. It started to get really serious. And we started to make comics. Like we make 2-3 page comics. And we wanted to continue doing that, but we were a little bit reluctant to continue because you know that making comics is a lot of money because the artists and you have to pay them and the colorists, the inks, mm-hmm. the letters. So it was a really complex project that stood idle for like 1 year. But we never really lost that little spark that we wanted to share our heroes with the world. So finally, last year, I came up with the idea that if we can make art, then we can write them like superhero novels. And there have been superhero novels before. There have been superhero novels before. I think one was by Tim King.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was really amazing, but it occurred to me there has never been a universe of superheroes made into novels.
Wow.
So we really thought this was something new because having several novels connected into a universe was really a really amazing way to reach out new readers and to get into a new light the superhero lore. So we started that, and right now we did like a pitching session in which everybody shared their heroes and we picked the best we could, and we noticed a very interesting theme. A recurring theme was diversity and acceptance, social acceptance. And so we wanted to create different heroes. So that was the birth of Neoverse.
Wow. That's really interesting. Wow. to hear, and I did happen to catch a little bit of your book on Amazon, and we'll talk about that a little bit later too. But it's really cool to be able to create your vision for comic book characters in kind of like this whole novel form. And I think being able to do that in a novel form is really, really, really cool. I mean, you can actually share your story without the visual aspect of it as well. And there's nothing wrong with that. So before we ask you about Neoverse, can you give us a little information that maybe about your background, what you do, what your occupation, maybe your quote-unquote nerd history?
Okay, I would be delighted to share that with you. Well, first of all, I'm a full-time writer.
Okay.
I have released a couple of science fiction novels in Mexico, and one fantasy one is going to be released in London later this year. But I have never written superheroes before. And I always admire superheroes. I was never a big fan of comics until my favorite band, it's called Within Temptation, it's a symphonic metal band, mm-hmm. started a comic book called The Unforgiving. And I bought it, and then I was hooked into comic books, the art, the way of telling stories. And then I started digging more into the actual DC Marvel universes. And I had a really tough part of my life two years ago. And I kind of find hope into these superheroes that never give up, and they kind of overcome every struggle they face. Eventually, I start watching animated series. One of my favorite TV show ever is Young Justice, mm-hmm. which was sadly canceled, but I heard Netflix is trying to revive it, so I have my fingers crossed. And then I started to reading comics. I have all Young Justice graphic novels. I have Flashpoint, which is an amazing story. I have some Nightwing, because Nightwing is my favorite superhero, along with Black Canary.
Let me some Nightwing, man.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I'm a Robin fan. I like all the Robin.
That's awesome.
Drake. I started doing my research on every one of them, and I really like all of the incarnations of Robin, more so than Batman himself. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gave me some ideas to create my hero. I want my hero to be different from others in the fact that he was like a combination of Nightwing and Batman. It's Crimson Thorn, he's human, he bleeds, he dies, but he's super intelligent. And those heroes, and Arrow, of course, Green Arrow, were like the foundations of my hero that I presented to Pop. Smithsonian class Pop-X, and then that's what started everything. This little character, it really, really inspired me to start this whole universe.
It's really interesting that you say about how superheroes kind of help you overcome, you know, some of the things that has happened in your life, because mm-hmm. reading the comic book actually takes your mind off of your life and your struggles and everything that you're going through. And I know that's true for me, because comic books were a huge part of my life growing up as a child. And even today, as a man going into my late 30s, I still find myself diving into comic books, because it helps me to escape. It helps me to find hope, and it helps me to be able to have the strength to overcome. And that's really cool, man. I commend you for that, for sharing that with us. I really do.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Thank you. I think it's very important. Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine. Finish your thought.
I was saying that I think it's very important we hold on to the heroes we admire.
Yes.
Even if they're fictional or not, because they can kind of give us the strength that we sometimes feel we lack. So it's very important to support this superhero. And many people don't understand that.
Yeah.
They think, oh, superheroes, childish, so superheroes, nerds, or whatever. They don't understand the true value of these superheroes and what they mean to us as people, as people who need idols. And even if they're not real, they're real to us. And we really are excited to start this project because we want to bring some hope to those people as well.
Awesome.
Well, let's dive in a little bit to that. Kind of tell me a little bit, what is Neoverse? Kind of tell us about some of the characters, their abilities, some ideas, concepts behind the comic universe that you've built.
Okay, we started with the pitching session. We gathered the main heroes that could represent us. And we started with a poster boy. We needed a poster boy for our project. So we created, Casey Van Camp, our first writer. We chose him to do our poster boy, which is Aurok, the guy in the center with the red. If you have, there you go. Thank you. He's like our version of Superman, but he's in power like he's like our version of Superman, but he's quite the opposite. He has like this legacy to follow, and this legacy is about protecting people using his powers like his father and grandfather and great-grandfathers did, taking the mantle of Aurok. And I think Casey did a really great job in putting this character together because he's not like Superman. He's a cook. He's not a reporter. He's just a cook with a restaurant. And he becomes a hero on his own right.
That's pretty
then
cool,
we
man.
Have, of course, cool. We have, of course, we wanted a counterpart. So we have this light hero, which is Aurok. Now we wanted to do something a little bit more dark. So we created my character, Crimson Thorn, which is, I have my copy of Black Thorns here.
Look at that.
Right.
I like that name, Crimson Black, Thorn.
The Crimson Thorn.
So good.
Dude.
I love that.
He's an assassin that is turning to in a path of redemption. And then his family is like a family of superheroes. He ignites a spark that inspires everybody to stand up against the corruption of the city, which is started in minorities and spreading hate crimes. And Crimson Thorn, what is very particular about him is that he is bisexual. And he has a love relationship with one of the ninjas that he was raised with. And we also have his sister, Stardust, which is my version of Black Canary, because she uses sonic booms with her globes. And she's also a badass ninja that was inspired by her brother, not knowing it was her brother. And then we have Quiver, who is a young boy, teenager, 14 years old, who is amazing at archery and martial arts because his brother is gay. And he's a gay reporter, and he's bullied constantly because of that. So Quiver is inspired also by Crimson Dawn to start this family. Like the Batman has his family, Green Arrow has his family. Now the Crimson Thorn has his family of heroes, which are the Black Thorns. And what's interesting about Quiver is that, spoiler alert, in one part of the novel, he gets disabled. And wow. He does not let that stop him from becoming a hero.
That's crazy.
So, he tries to embrace his disability, and he eventually tries to become the hero that he was inspired by Crimson Thorn. So we have Auroch, and we have Crimson Thorn and the family of Black Thorns.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, I got to say, though, before Lindsay goes into the next question, I don't think I've ever known of a superhero to have a disability.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know.
I like the different background stories. That's really, really cool.
I'm really enjoying that, man. That's really cool, dude.
Yeah. I know you had mentioned a little bit earlier when you were telling us about your inspiration. And about some of the challenges you faced kind of getting everything lined up and together, kind of go a little bit more into that for me about what were the challenges that to get your project launched and some of the obstacles that you faced and how you overcame them.
Okay. The first challenge was picking the heroes. And... Okay. That was the first thing we had to do. We were a group of over 100 of the alumni of the class. Mm-hmm. And we had to pick 8. We decided 8 is going to be our magic number. So we had to pick the best heroes. And so we started pitching, like, send us your class portfolio. And then we started, the leads, which are me, Joe Brown, and a guy named Isaac. We started looking through this portfolio of heroes, and we decided that which would encompass our main team. That was 1 year ago. And then the project got so much smaller in terms of now we're having a smaller group of people helping the main team, there are 10 of us. We have 2 editors, 3 writers, 8 writers, and we're all like, the challenge here is that we're long distance working. Like most of us are here in the United States, but we have Kate Vanguard, who writes Shadow Story, which is going to be released next year. Mm-hmm. He's in Canada. We have Sabine, a girl from the Philippines who's living in Australia. So we're all over the world. We're making this group of heroes. And the challenge is how you control these people in terms of how do you work together.
But you guys are so like spaced apart from each other. You said the Philippines and Canada, and so you know, it's really amazing to hear that there's so many people involved on this project, but you guys are so sporadic. And that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really interesting. So you guys Do you like meetings? Do you get together like once a week and just have like a brainstorming session, or?
Actually, we have like 3 groups in Facebook chat.
Okay.
In which we coordinate each other, and I believe the 10 of us, we have become more than coworkers. We have become friends, almost like family, really, because we're working together in this goal, and. Really, of course, we have our disagreements sometimes, but we don't let that hinder us. We learn from each other, and everybody has their point of view, which is always valid to everybody. So the challenge here is making sure we all, the 10 of us, agree to do one thing.
That's it.
But we're almost in the same page, so we think alike, and we have gone a long way now from brainstorming to having an actual piece of work here.
Wow. Something you can be proud of. So you guys just celebrated your first release, Auruk, The Mantle, a Neoverse novel, and that launched on July the 20th. And explain a little bit about your first novel, your comic book novel there.
Well, our first two novels were released 1 week apart.
Okay.
The first one was Auruk. And Auruk is, like I said, a guy who has been trained by his father to continue his legacy as a hero, a protector of the world. And he starts blank. Like, he has all these superpowers, and he starts like, I don't know what to do with them. But my father expects me to fill his shoes, so I'm going to learn. And he, of course, encounters all sorts of villains and secret organizations that are trying to capture neo-humans. That's what we call them, people with powers. And so with Auruk, I think Casey did a great job. He did a great job in portraying our poster boy. Auruk is a really likable character because he's so humble, and he's so optimistic, and he's eager to learn.
That's awesome.
And he doesn't feel like he's so full of himself because he has powers. He sees himself like equal to everybody, no matter what if you're new human or human or whatever. And he protects the city as best of his ability. He encounters threats, but we really think it was a wise choice to let Casey lead the charge with Auruk as our first release.
Well, that's really amazing. Just hearing how the story come to be, and just knowing now how proud you must feel holding in your hand a copy of the book, and knowing that your publication is now out there, something that's been probably a year and a half in the making has now come to pass, and you're actually holding a copy of your book in your hand with your name on it and your artwork. And I couldn't imagine how that feeling must feel, because I'm a writer as well. I'm an artist as well, but I've never actually wrote a publication like a novel and actually been able to get it out there into the digital realm. And that kind of leads into my next question. Were there any challenges in publishing your works online? And what are some of the pointers that you can have for future publishers or future comic book writers out there who dream of doing what you're doing one day?
Okay. The challenges of online publication are little except marketing. You have to know how to market your novel. You have to shout your name, say, I'm here, look at me. And that's our main concern right now. We want to reach as many people as possible. It really feels amazing to have copies of Auruk of Blackthorns here. Novels are out now, and we are really proud that we made it. We have Andrew Gibson from Gibson Creations, an independent artist, to do the cover artwork. It's amazing, right?
Yeah, and just the artwork I mean, it is just really who now? Who is your artist that does all your work for you?
Is Andrew Gibson?
Andrew Gibson. Okay.
Yeah, he. I reached him out when I was moderating a Young Justice group.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, Facebook. He was doing like freelance art, and I was like, this guy really, really has an amazing talent. So we reached out for him and we make a deal, and eventually he agreed to do the cover artworks for the books. The first artwork he worked was the banner that I showed you. And then he went on with Blackthorns and then with Auroch, because we were a little more advanced on Blackthorn. And then finally, by the time of release, we had two Kick-Ass covers that we shared with the world. And Andrew is a really great artist. I'm really thankful to him for making.
That cover art is really pretty, dude. I got to say, I like that.
It really is.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have to be honest right now. Are there any regrets that you've had so far, like mistakes, things you wish you could go back and change to do a little bit differently?
No.
No?
Wow.
Awesome.
My only regret is that I didn't start sooner.
Wow.
Like, there you go.
Well played, Jedi.
Thank
Bravo.
You. We stayed Bravo. For 1 year.
Oh.
And now we have this product, and yes, we're on a point when we're really scared, because we realized we're doing something really big.
Yeah.
Something that could be really big, and now we're like this bunch of guys who were thrown into a deeper end, but we're trying to do what's best for the project. We have, I swear, we all wake up and start talking about the project, and we talk about it until late night, whatever we are. The chat box is always full of messages. And then we brainstorm all the time. We have a lot of novels coming up. We have a 1 year plan so far. We have next novel is going to be The Wolf by Brigadier Wolf. That's his pen name, which is a werewolf story with military elements.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Mystag about a telepath on the level of Jean Grey, and that is like really, really interesting, because he upholds the values of his religion, but at the same time he's really open about the world, and he has a great view of religion. The author is Gay Chalene. And we have Patrol, which is a group of heroes from the Philippines by Sabine. They're like a kick-ass, like a boy who's want to be a
man,
hero.
That's cool.
And then we have Darkness by Keith Vanguard, which is a very strong novel, because it deals with a boy who is suffering from depression, and he wants to heal himself.
Wow.
A lot of people can identify with that.
That's a dark topic there, Enrique.
Yeah. Gabe has worked a lot with his novel. The thing about this teenager is that he's like Wolverine. He can't die.
Wow. So he can
so
heal.
No matter how much he tries to kill himself, he can't.
That's crazy.
And then his dark side like manifests in a a universe in the real world, and he and his best friend team up to fight the darkness, but he has to fight the darkness within, fight the depression. Mm-hmm. So I think Kate has really created a great story that can be of help to many people and teenagers, especially that are struggling with depression. And then we have the Havocs. The Havocs is our group of teenage superheroes, like the Teen Titans.
Okay.
I'm the lead writer on that. We have a finished draft already. We have a Speedster. We have Weaver from Blackthorns. We have teenage heroes from Mystag. Like every little character that appears as a sidekick in their respective novel is going to come together and form their own team. And that's our first crossover. And the crossover is going to lead to a bigger crossover in which all our characters start merging. We have Brigadier Wolf and Casey working on it right now. I decided to stay a little back on the crossover because I had to monitor things. The other things, because it's really a great project, but it's also very tiring.
Yeah.
But when you have this in your hands,
yeah, that's
it's worth it.
Oh, I can imagine. Wow. We're running short on time here, Enrique. But I got a question here to. Then I think Lindsay's got one final one as well. Who is the one person you look up to most, and why? And what is it about them that inspires you to create?
Okay. The person I look up the most is my father.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Because he's very perseverant. He has a lot of struggles in his life, and he never gave up. Okay. And that's very, very important to me, a lesson that I learned. But if we have to go to the comic book history, I would say I really admire Geoff Johns.
Okay.
Like you mentioned earlier in the show.
Yeah, Geoff Johns.
He's so young, and now
he's DC president.
President,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
How can someone so young have achieved so much?
Well.
And a flashpoint by him, and it's really amazing.
If you got that spark, man, you can do it. Lindsay Badger, absolutely. You got our final question of the night for Enrique.
Yeah. Tell everybody how they can get in contact with you. They can. Do you have a website that they can visit, or are you out on the social media? How can we get in touch with you?
We have our Facebook page, Neoverse Official. We have our website, which is neoverseofficial.com.
Neoverseofficial.com. Okay.
Yes.
And we have a Twitter, which we're all trying to control, because we have like, you were going to do this, social media, you the website. We like spread the word every way we can.
Yeah.
But yes, if you want to contact us, you can reach out on the website and especially on Facebook. We're really active on Facebook.
Okay, awesome. Great.
So good. It's facebook.com/ Neoverse Official, and you can find him, Neoverse Official, across all social media as well.
Yes.
And, don't forget to head over to Amazon.com right now and be sure to pick up your copy of Auroch, The Mantle, a Neoverse novel today, and support your local grassroots creators. He's also got the paperback, and in the show description this week, we actually are going to do something really cool for you, Enrique. We're going to throw in the hot links for your Amazon paperbacks, Kindle editions, and your CreateSpace accounts. So people are going to be able to actually purchase your works through our show description. So that's going to be really cool. Yeah, man. That's how we roll. And we want to thank you so much for for being on our show and just being a part of this and sharing the creative mind and the creative process that it does to create your own universe of superheroes.
Thank you so much for telling your story. Yeah. It's a great one.
And being very transparent too, because that's something and not a lot of people are very comfortable with doing, is being transparent. So I have to commend you on that. And I thank you so much.
Thank you. No, guys, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm sorry Casey couldn't make it. He really apologizes. He wanted to be here, but, you know, something came up. But I want to thank you for inviting us, like 2 weeks shy of our first release. And that's really something. And like you said, and like Nightwing said when he was Robin, that's what we do.
That's what we do. All right. Enrique, we're gonna let you go for now, but we will see you on the interwebs, my friend. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing a little bit about Neoverse with us. And also, guys, be sure to go and on Amazon and pick up your copy today. And it will really support a great cause, a great effort, and a great mind who is a creator. Okay? Enrique, we'll see you later, my friend.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Joseph. And see you later. Thank the audience. And please check us out. We're always active on Facebook. And please make sure to pick up your copies of Aura, The Mantle, and Black Thorns. Thank you.
Thank you, Enrique. All right. Bye-bye. So that was awesome, a little interview there, especially with like...
What a great project.
It really, like, I want to get like a pen and pencil and just start like creating something, you know, like creating a character. But my gosh, just having the stride.
You should.
And yeah, no, I should probably do that at some point, but I don't know. I digress.
You got the talent. I need it.
I digress. But anyway.
Well, I know we have a hotline, right, Joe?
We do have a hotline. You heard us right. We have an amazing hotline here. And if you guys are going to go see Suicide Squad this week, or you're just catching up on Star Trek, be sure to call us and leave us a message. Say, hey, Joe, and we want to know your thoughts. Review it on our PopX hotline, okay? Leave us a message. We don't care how long it is. If you want to talk 10 minutes, well, all right, that's fine too. We'll edit it down, but whatever.
Just
say, hey, PopX, this is so-and-so. What up? But 850-417-7679. Oh, really, Mike? Really?
Look at that.
So that is 850-417-POPX.
Oh, my gosh. We are also a part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. And for all things more geeky, head over to GonnaGeek.com and check out some amazing podcasts on our home network.
That's it. We love our friends, and we love – big shout out to SP and Chris and Stephen Jandrew, all the guys over at the Gonna Geek Network. We love those guys dearly. And also, if you want to follow us on social media, we have Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Patreon, Twitter, and also Pinterest. It's all at PopXCast. And you can email us at PopXCast@gmail.com. We love to hear from all of our amazing, faithful listeners and downloaders each week. And also for future or past shows, head over and check out and get your geek on at PopXCast.com. And I am Joe at RockHav on the interwebs, and I want to thank Lindsay Badger down here below. She is at...
And you can find me at any social media platforms at LR Badger.
LR. Just as we like to call her here around Team PopX, Lieutenant Badger. Yes.
Lieutenant
Badger. Lieutenant Badger reporting for duty. And the man handling the window over here, the slides, this is Mr. Mike Ippolito. Thank you so much, Mike, for joining us tonight. Oh, really, Charlie Chaplin?
Always doing a great job. I'm loving it.
Yes, I love me some Charlie Chaplin. Yes. Thank you for that. And the sweet potatoes on forks. That's great. All right, guys. Like we said, now next week is going to be a good episode. Episode 27. Holy cow, we're getting close to 30. This is insane.
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad is coming to you next week. And then episode 28, let me go ahead and just give our listeners just a little sneak preview here. Because I know you can only get this if you stay and actually listen to the end of the show, right? But coming up on episode number 28, we are going to be actually diving into some of the best, the best reboot franchise movies that actually made it. And we're not talking about the crappy ones. We're talking about reboots that worked and actually made some profit.
The good stuff.
The good stuff.
The good stuff.
We're not talking about Ghostbusters, unfortunately. Anyway.
That's okay. We talked enough about them already.
We did. And also, I do want to give a huge shout out right now while we have just a minute. We will be live at Crumbs World coming up on episode number 29. Now, that's August the 20th. That's on a Saturday. And we will be early. It'll be from like 2 to 4 in the afternoon. But Crumbs World is doing a very special kind of an event that day where anybody that's in the industry, anybody that's in the fast food industry or any of that, custodial, whatever, they're doing a very special 10% off anything in the store and a double punch on your card that day. And also they'll be having cooks, candies, treats, drinks, all that cool stuff. And you can come out and see Team Pop X live at Crumbs World Comics in Winter Garden, Florida. We'll be broadcasting live from the shop in person. So this is a first time.
You're going to ship me a goodie bag with all those treats, right?
Oh, my gosh. It's the first time we ever have went on a remote.
That's so exciting.
It is cool.
I'm really
it is
happy
cool.
that you get to do that.
We're excited to be able to hopefully their internet's good. Hopefully.
pray to the internet gods.
We're praying to the internet gods so that everything works out. And also episode number 30 where we will break down number 3 of the history of comics, the Dark Ages.
Oh, yes.
So that's
my
coming
favorite
to you. So,
series.
Yes, it's going to be awesome. So we got you all the way through to 30. Again, my name is Joe Burke, Lindsay Badger, Mike Ippolito. Thank you all so much for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we will see you next week on the Suicide Squad. Take care.
Good night.
From everyone here at PopXCast, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, and don't forget to subscribe for more great content. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Lab, and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on!